life, plenty of life in every Jewish home. So when a person puts on the candles, lights the candle before afternoon, he hasn't accomplished anything. It's an expression in the Sefer Chulin. The context is the fight between the sun and the moon. Hashem says to the moon, okay, you can shine it by day as well as by night. So the moon responds, Shraka Matiya Ramaya Adi. You have a candle when the sun is out. What does it accomplish? The next few watts, the sun is shining. What good is it if you put the candle to? So the moonlight in the middle of the day candle, light the candle before the afternoon, he hasn't accomplished anything. There's an expression in the Sefer Chulin. Context is the fight between the sun and the moon. Hashem says to the moon, okay, you can shine it by day as well as by night. So the moon responds, Shraka Matiya Ramaya Adi. You have a candle when the sun is out. What does it accomplish? The next few watts, the sun is shining. What good is it if you put a candle to? So the moonlight in the middle of the day doesn't accomplish almost nothing. So too the question can be made, just about a room like this. Eight bags of fluorescent lights. You say, hey, take a candle and light a candle on the front table. What do you accomplish? Insignificant, bubble position. It's meaningless because of the total wattage of the total amount of light that's being shed in the room. There's a little problem which has been picked up on. Because you know, 100 years ago, the people didn't have lights, or just using the candles that would only light the room was different. So the approach to this is varied amongst the know that post. Some say, doesn't make a difference. The Shabbos candle had a romantic touch, a spiritual touch. It's, you know, Shabbos candle is something very special. It's spiritual. And then we can make a bracha on these candles no matter what, even though it's had almost a significant amount of light. Other things that kind of course, no. They will call it a more, forgive the expression, a more literature approach. A more technical approach. Don't call it spiritual and special and they're romantic and those. Give me bottom line. It's not any light. And therefore they demand that a person can, whatever possible, at least, to fix the situation. How to fix the situation? Very simple. Put off lights. What? Sit in the dark, eat by candlelight. First of all, the fanciest restaurants, they eat by candlelight. I'm not recommending it. That's not what happens. You want to do what's fine. You're not recommending it. You put off the light. And then, look right back on again. But the lighting of the electric light is incorporated in the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeres. So you're not just lighting two candles in the front. You're lighting two candles plus 300 watts, which are hanging over your dining room table. Why not? So by doing so, you are increasing and enhancing the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeres and avoiding any potential problem for what we might call a bracha of Hatala. There are some who reason that have been putting on the making of a hot and cash house and it looks to this the bracha of Hatala. It's Shraka Matira, it's the Kamish of Dira. What order should we follow? Well, generally speaking, when women light candles, their custom is evolved and they first light the candles, then they cover their eyes, they make a bracha. It's almost universally accepted custom. So then, if you wish to incorporate the electric light in your mitzvah halacha, what you do is you go to the electric light, turn it off, turn it on, go back to the regular candles, strike a match, light the two candles, put it down, cover your eyes, and make a bracha. But that bracha is not just going on the candles, it's also going on the electric light. That's the way it should be done ideally. Some of the women very, very pressed in time, last minute, Erev Shabbos, some things that are going on, some things are happening. So then, if the man wishes on his way out to shul, presumably before the Rabbi's candle on Yom HaMitzvah, at least an hour shul, unless the Rabbi's very early, but if he usually leaves the shul, leaves the house and shul before the Rabbi's candle, so he can, on the way out the door, many homes to switch to the dining room right by the front door. So you can turn it off, turn it on. This way, it's incorporated in the wife's subsequent writing. If she remembers after you, no problem. She'll turn it on, she'll turn it on again. No problem. It's supposed to be done. Most of them heard this thing. I'm sorry, it better should be done this way. It's the opinion of a Soloveitchik, of a Kamenetsky, of Debrecina, Shalita, quite a few rabbis have advocated this position. Rav Moshe held more from the, maybe it's a literature, quite a few held more from the spirit, the special nature, the romantic element, which they just not necessarily contested with the idea of Canada, the orphan, an art. Comes the second day on, they're going to stop. Because you have a major problem. It's the election right is on. Some people, one second, they try to pull a shtick. And it's the thing like a Shabbos on. They have to go off, and then they light the candles, and then they go on again. A sticky stick, okay, they'll do it. No, wonderful. But it requires a lot of precision. You know, it doesn't work right, you can't do it wrong. But the second night, after that candle's late, you know, I don't really put to prepare for one day for the next. I'm not sure that's wrong. Anyway, that's good. For those who don't have any shout spot theory, that the constantly on the second day, they rely on the general view. Was accepted, and other days, Charles comes. The first day, they try to show the light. Okay, any questions? You can always ask questions. Yes?
If one is a guest in someone else's house.
So overall, we're talking about someone who's in his own house.
Concerning good lights.
Yes, but so far, we're talking someone in his own house. That's so far. We'll come to other situations a little later. I have that little flyer, a whole series of special situations. Try to cover it. Now, where in one's own house will light the candle? So traditionally, the candle are associated with the Shabbos meal. Does this mean that the candle must be on the Shabbos table? No. If you look at the old picture, they have the candles hanging. The chandelier is above the table. Above the table. It's simply safer. The table shakes. The children, they push. So in our children, literally, we still want to take the candles over. We look at them. So then we put it over to the side, a little bit higher, not directly on the table. Still there, still have directly on the table. But it's certainly, it's in the same room as with the dining table. That's what it should be. It's all possible. Give it to all possible. Okay. This is the halacha of lighting candles one up in one's own home. May one light candles and then still do beloved the work, which should not be allowed on Shabbos. There's a distinction. A man lights candles, which is generally assumed he's not accepting Shabbat upon himself, and he may drive the shul with lighting candles. If a woman lights candles, we assume that she is accepting Shabbat upon herself, and therefore she may not drive the shul. But if she makes an explicit condition, preferably by word of mouth, and if not even in a thought process, then she may make a condition. Say, listen, I'm lighting the candle, but I'm not accepting Shabbos now. Make a condition. Then I can draw the shul. Obviously, you can't draw the Shabbos as a condition. We're talking about before Shabbos. Thank you, Farrah. But still, this condition is possible. It can be done. We don't like to do it. We often do this if a person's traveling to a faraway place. A person, for example, is going to be eating supper 2 miles away. You don't want to walk so far. So what you do is light candles to make a condition, and you drive 2 miles away, and you walk back. You have to walk one direction instead of two directions. People often go to Yerushalayim or Kodesh. They want to walk to the wall, close on our oven. Long walk. Rather than have to walk all the way back and drive there. Or take a taxi there. So then again, the same condition could be made for certain. Let's give you a couple of examples. Okay.
You get hanaa from the hadlaka that you do before.
Very good point. Well, you should try to do it in that case and make sure the candle is still burning when you return home. Otherwise, forget a question and we call the bracha off. So in that case, especially I would say, play with the lights. Off and on, but the lights will still be on when you come home.
But if you're not going to do that, if you make a snai, then certainly it doesn't help that you...
That's correct. Shabbos is right. Yes.
Going one for one.
You are out of luck. Once you light candles.
Once you light candles.
I didn't think so. Okay. Caught.
how the drug compound happens in general.
No, they might presume that if the girl is at home and not out in the middle, she understands that some sets of the 40, she should know full well that at least the last 5 or 10 minutes, she should not be doing any below. That's how the house should run. It could be 18 minutes. But many Jewish homes, 18 minutes is not viable. At least 5 or 10 minutes. So the fact that she ceases to desist from any below in 5 or 10 minutes before the sun sets, that is a fulfillment of those 7 Shabbos, even without a verbal acceptance. What the most starting? You get a Shabbos Shabbat Rosh Hashanah on Sunday is that. That was the usual tradition. Yes? That's the custom we have. The light without the matches and the other room? Nah.
If you're lighting in the dining room, you have matches and your young children. You want to bring them to the kitchen.
Obviously, it's a question of safety in every room. But ideally, if it's not an issue, you should try to minimize the interruption and time between lighting the candles and the room, say, subsequently. Okay. This is the halacha of lighting candles in the home. Actually, yeah, people want to fail. Can one fulfill the mitzvah of hadlakas candle electric light? We obviously assumed in our previous analysis. The answer is yes. Everyone agrees. Some say yes. Some say only incandescent, not fluorescent. And some say that even the incandescent is not a real candle in the full sense. So again, the transition is to use regular candles, but if it's necessary, we can rely upon electric lights. How many candles are lit? Different customs. I think it's a universal custom to light 2 candles, those are one. Am I correct? And on different customs, it's almost universally accepted. Beyond 2, depends on part of Europe it comes from. In some places, 2 is 2 is 2 no matter what. In other places, a candle is added for every member of the family. In Charlotte, one. Whose cousin is solid? The couple gets married. The father, the mothers. The husband, the wife. A loaded question these days. You have to ask the parent. So the answer is that the wife comes to this. A, Michelle advice.
She's lighting.
She's lighting. She's lighting. So, many occasions you say that the husband's custom prevails. I think my opinion is an exception. That's my view on that. Okay. There is a halacha or law of minig that a woman did not light candles in a particular week as a ketanas, a fine, she's required to light an additional candle for the rest of her life. But Rav Moshe is quoted as saying it's not a fine nowadays. Because nowadays, they're electrified. The ketanas, the fine, will only impose because the family was plunged in the dark for a whole child. It was terrible. So the penalty for that terrible Shabbos, she has to light an extra candle for the rest of her life. But today, she gets the light, she gets the light. You know, the electric light is still on. Then that penalty is not applied. Okay. So this completes, basically, the first head of the shiur for this evening. Easier. This is the head about some of the lighting candles in his or her own home. But if you have questions about this, I'll have it taken right now. Yes?
What
would you say? What
if you are
under protection and you get out of the house? And you know, obviously, it's completely protection. Oh, you meant the shadows? That's, I don't know. You have to question about the Zoro. That's not together. All right. If there are no more questions, part one, I'm ready to start the more complicated part two. Part two is, what about any case of the person not at home? This is a very complicated issue. on the bias, as we mentioned before. And the question is, if someone is not home, what happens? What happens? You're not home? What do you do?
Parents of the host, or the other way around. Parents of the children's house.
sit there, stand there, as we call both the sad and the wrong, or the highly necessary shower, enter, amen, and light. Because we didn't call them all that, we can't lose.
Listen, you don't want to
burn someone else out of that. If you are, you like 20 candles, for instance, you're ready. You can guess it's on that guy. You know,
only problem is that nobody does it.
No one does it, I think.
Your mother will, right?
I don't saw my mother. The most appropriate solution was his own wife, and say that maybe it's what he should be doing. Even that.
That doesn't work.
Even that doesn't work. Yes. Sure, I'll explain to you why right now. There is a big question. If a person lights a second set of candles, there are no candles in his house. I light a second set of candles. Is that considered appropriate? And I can make a brook on it? Or no? That might be in the category of the little BL category. Well, that's right. Brook on the color. The person, huh?
The daughter of the child also, the daughter of
the child. The daughter is also a problem, BL.
No, daughter that lives in the
house. Yeah, that's like you said before. That's also a problem. They all have a tradition from their Rebbe or something like that. Tradition, I cannot argue. The God of tradition is a serious problem, it seems to me. Potential brachah levatah. Potentially. Now, let's continue. Therefore, it would seem that strictly speaking, if someone is a guest in someone else's house, not right at all. What if the Mishnah is good? Give a penny. That's the end. Give a penny. Thinking that women like light, they're okay. I'm fully aware of this. A woman likes light, her own can. She doesn't want to rely on somebody else. And it's wonderful. I'm not going to in any way take away from that. That's my problem. What about that? You do what I do, it's out of those problems. You give a penny to your cover. You light candles to your cover. All the downside is with the problem. The answer, amen, to the brach of the hostess in your home. That's why I mean that's the ideal situation, in my opinion. I didn't say that. It's a problem to light candles. It's not behaved for many, many years. We should light candles, and the ideal way to do it is the way I describe it. I'm fully aware of the custom, which exists in many places, our most speaks about already, that if there are more than one Asian sky in a particular home, that each and every one lights their own candle, makes their own room. I'm aware of that. Would be going around me. I know that that's what's commonly done. I'm aware of that too. I know that they're chanting the brachah traditionally made in a very loud voice, and they're shopping the brachah traditionally made in a very low voice. I'm aware of that also. So you ask them, do me a favor this week, say the brachah a little bit louder, and I want to ask, all right, what's the difference? It looks like something. The light on camera, I'm telling you, with someone else's brachah. Yes. In Europe. But I want to make a point, which is, here we're into a bigger problem with the electric lights. Because in Europe, she had Mrs. X lit her menorah. There are two candles, who wasn't that light? Comes Mrs. Y and lights her menorah. Ooh, you double the light room. Ooh, whoa, a whole symbol. And today, the light comes from on top. So it's just a matter of what Bush called, if it doesn't look light, it's just similar. Similar, we're very satisfied with two candles. Four candles, what are we doing? Didn't have anything any wider, didn't have anything any symbolic stuff, you had nothing. It's a bigger problem.
What about when they go to a hotel?
Oh. I'm very happy you said that. Well, that will help justify the custom which is done in many houses, which is exactly that. The light of God untouched, and the mother lights, the daughter lights. And if father increases the spirit of joy in the family, then that you feel much better. So the court, there are much shock. If you're increasing the joy in the family, I would have to assume that there's a possibility at least of extending that kind of joy. So I'm not sure how much yourself did, but you made me feel better. That would help justify the existing covenant in many places. For those who do it, I hate criticism. So I'll tell you what, perhaps a little better, strictly halakhic sense. Now. Mentioned before that there are really two issues with respect to their shots. One is a personal obligation. Every individual has a kind of a personal obligation that it shouldn't be dark, shouldn't trip. Another one is an obligation every single law to you. You shouldn't trip. And every home has to have let's call it now, this is a problem case. A person is a guest in someone else's house. But, he is a guest in someone else's house, but he's still part of the family, and the family is lighting in the house which he belongs. Let's explain to that drama. Let's say there's father, a mother, a son, and a daughter. A nuclear family. Okay? And the son of the wife of Shabbos. Well, the son was out with friends out for Shabbos. His mother's lighting. And the mother's lighting is a lighting which is the nair issue based on that house. And the guest is still in someone else's house, is still part of, in a sense, part of that house, that there is some kind of a lighting on behalf of the entire household. But if he were in another house, X is mother's lighting. X is now Y's house. The Y house is pitch black. It's just so dark and trip that X would undoubtedly be obliged, be obligated to light a candle in Y's house. It shouldn't trip. What happens though is X is in Y's house. Y's house is full of light. And X's mother is lighting in the house which actually belongs. It's arguable that X doesn't have to do anything. Nothing. Because the obligation of being a marriage who makes those take care of it is in parental home, so far that happens. And the obligation that it's light, this place is full of light. This is only true if he doesn't have a room of his own where he wants light. Because the room of his own where he wants light, and the fact that the mother is lighting that down the block in the middle of the city, doesn't help. So he should light a candle in his own room, so it should be light. However, this is rarely applies nowadays. Because most people today want their room to be pitch black. They're in their own private room. They want to sleep in the dark. They don't want to buy a room for the day. Most people. So as far as the living room, dining room, bathroom, has already been taken care of by the malabasa, the way he's staying, so everything's full of light. As far as the personal obligation, there is a way to take care of his own home. As far as the private bedroom, you don't want any light. You don't want light from it, you don't want light. Gets in the way. So therefore, it's very arguable, in this kind of a case, there's no need for the guest to give a penny, a nickel, to the host, to hit a nickel, to take care of my situation. What kind of situation? Just take care of anybody, what's like his own home? Assuming he's still part of the family with a life. Now, here's a fascinating question within this question. Assuming this is true, what happens if, the person not going across the city, but across the sea. Going from New York to Jerusalem, or vice versa. Think about the issue, but what's the issue? At the time, my family in New York, or Jerusalem, you know, 7 hours in, because lighting is the wrong time for me. It's either Friday morning or it's already midnight. Is it working out? You follow me? Because the lighting takes place in the conscious is not the right time for me. So in my opinion, it works anyway. I'll tell you why. If the person is lighting as my emissary, as my shliach, as if I'm lighting, then it wouldn't work. But the nature of the obligation is their issue based on. And as long as in the home where I, to which I still belong to that home. As long as the home to which I still belong, if I didn't get to the proper time for them, whatever that home happens to be, my obligation is to show them. Even though at that moment they live, it was only Friday morning, in one direction, or the other out of the business. Long as I can like Brian.
Yeah.
That's my view. And I found some support for this view in the Chumas Minchas Yitzchak by the dying vice of Eda Karenzi Mishalai. If, however, the person has his own is anymore, this was part of our household. Yes, it was part of the not count many. So what is his own house? If I still have it, I still have it. It's irrelevant. But when he goes down to someone else's house, he has a problem. Because his first foundation is not taking care of anybody. Because his mother is at his mother's house. His own house is nobody there. Then he must, in my opinion, give the drukha to the hostess. Now, that's for the men. Women should also do the same thing, but they want a light in the world. So they can either light their own, which is a custom in many places, or make their own problem, which is a custom, because I'm aware. Or if they wish to be more litvish, then they can do it as a before, which it is. Amen, the whole business is before. Yes?
When boys or girls that are away at school and rent their apartments, their lights are on, so they're... Are you saying that they should not finish up there?
No, they should definitely finish up there, their own apartment, and they should either flip the light bulb on the door. Because you see, there's an obligation upon them to see what it's like. So instead of doing it passively, and doing my household passively, just leave the light on before the family, that's no good.
Why isn't that more about the because the mother's lighting at home.
The mother's lighting at home. No, the mother lights at home is my personal obligation. Now all I have to see what I don't trip. Right? I don't do that. But I can't. So lights are on. So once again, the best thing is to put the light off, look at on again. And I would say, even if you don't do that, you just put the regular light candle on, you can still judge by the set of law. You add the spirit of Shabbos. You know what you said earlier. So that's the problem.
So I'm only, I'm extending the position you were saying before,
right?
That a person is really covered by left the liturgical.
Right.
So a buffer that moves away, you would have no need to light because he's covered by the left of the liturgical. And it's not going to be pitch dark. You're right. If in the case it would be pitch dark, even you agree with that person.
Absolutely.
But where it's not pitch dark, where normally lights are left off. Right? The custom, the general accepted custom is that some that people do like that. I think even here, according to your position, I think you're saying that the really shouldn't be on that.
Sure, like, because instead of avoiding tripping by having candles in the back of it from this morning, they should avoid tripping by having their shots. That's my understanding.
Pitch dark is a function of their shots. It's pitch dark because there is no their shots, because there is their shots.
Okay. Now, what about avoiding the yeshiva itself? Is it the yeshiva? What happens then? Yeshiva! No, what do they do?
You don't like?
Hold on. So here's my one practice speaking. I think it's going to be girls' seminaries and boys' yeshivas. I believe that in girls' seminaries, they like. No. They don't like it. They don't know. They don't know.
Someone I support. There's someone that likes to be one seat. There's where there's a dorm or where the yeshiva is.
I'll follow. Okay. So in my opinion, if someone is lighting, we'll call it a house mother, for all the young men and young women who are in the yeshiva or the girls' seminary, then what they have to do is see to it that a light is in their rooms. It should be pitch black. Should trip them in the seminary and yeshiva too, you know. But there's always a light, the bathroom light, the hall light, always put lights on the way they want it. Now, in my opinion, it would be permissible for them to make a broker on the electrical light that they're flipping on in the bed. Most common thing. The bathroom, they shouldn't trip. That would bar the broker. The fact that the household lighting in the dining room, which is not the dining room, so what? But the custom is not getting on in the own room. That's the custom of all yeshiva boys, and I think I get some seminar girls as well, that some of the lighting in the dining room, candles, regular candles, that's the doom. When they use the electric light, they shouldn't trip. The custom, they don't make the broker, which is fine. Argue they should, but I can understand why they would want to do this.
You're just saying that the mother is back home.
But if I have a rule, let's go again. I have a rule, and the rule is pitch black.
Right.
I have to make sure that she's going to be somewhere else in the bathroom. So I have to do that. The chiyuv to be in the shop, that's actually one with your brother. Except you said that there's the house mother who's lying. So her problem presumably is for everybody that will hear it. So okay. I can understand that. Although, frankly, from a strict perspective, it's arguable that I have my own space, I should be glad I make my own broth. I'll never do it. They just kept the candles and flesh wrapped in front of flesh wrapped. Possibly don't like that electric light and go on to another stroke. Problematic, that's what's done.
Well, that's just like it,
right? Yes, I'll tell you.
Yes, I'll tell you.
Well, that's just like it.
You can get the same thing. Same thing. That probably some lights in the dining room, and they go on to the candle. Book. Real quiet happens. So they go like that. What is it? The bathroom went on. They make it wrong with the bathroom. I'm guessing the answer is no. Strictly speaking, the answer probably should be yes. Well, as a matter of fact, that's the fact of hotels. That's the fact. Hotels do not allow you to light the rooms. Why have them? But they do, they can make a separate room called the candle lighting room. I call it the Tower of Inferno. You can't walk in there. You have 500 lights, they're going to come up to the guns, they go to these hotels. It's probably a problem with hotels, in my opinion. It's a joke. No, you can't walk in the room. It's dangerous, it's so hot, it's crazy. So what do you do? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetz quoted one of the books, what he did, he also went to hotels. So he told the Rebbe, listen Rebbe, I know you get all my candles. So what can I do with that? I'm not going to stop you, Rabbi Yaakov, smart man. You want my candles, fine. But I'll tell you, before you go to light the candles, turn on the light of the bathroom. That I need, so you shouldn't trip in our own private hotel. That's the real Nesha. That's the real Nesha. Now you want to go and walk across the hall down the stairs and put on two candles and make a drop out of the Nesha's house? I don't care. But you better have in mind, primarily, the bathroom.
Are you talking about?
You really should try to avoid talking between them. You can walk through the hotel with the chakras. Like if you wash your hands. Staying at holiday in the shul, it's like this. The Gemara does say that the person has two places, what would they eat, what would they sleep, so then the place of eating is even more important. Gemara is that's air. However, the pasuk said only true if they're both private. But here, for the holiday, they're in a private room. And the dining room is like the public. So then when your place is your holiday, you should still make the Gemara, but if you can't leave the candle there, and therefore there are individuals who live in this community who simply forgot what it's like that one. When I grew up, there were no Arabs in New York City. Not that long ago. There were no Arabs. Nothing, no such thing. You grew up, you couldn't carry, and you knew what there were many exceptions. And somehow the last approximately 25 years, there evolved a situation where that most communities in, let's say it properly, in the New York metropolitan area, with very notable exceptions, there are Arabs. And 25 years, about the situation where that most communities in, let's say properly, in the New York metropolitan area, with very little exception, there are areas. And therefore, it's a very important repression clause to know what to do. First of all, what will the air fall down? It can happen. In our community, the reason why the air is usually up is because the air is almost 90% there before we start. Rivers are on a hill, and there are cliffs, and there are fences, and there are buildings, so that the amount of rivers surrounded by water is relatively speaking small. Relatively speaking. Also some of the air between miles and miles and miles of streams. And you know, the law of averages is if you have miles and miles of streams, they're going to fall down. Here in our community, even though we're using streams, we try very hard to use the streams. It belongs to the Con Edison or the telephone company. They stay up. And it's only going to keep you up. Well, that is up, which is much easier. That's not the topic of today's discussion. That's the subject of what the building and air will maintain one. That's not the topic. The topic is what do you do if there is no air? Let's say, for example, you don't want to alarm the air, which is common. There are many people, it's true of every air, the beginning of the air, where the individuals don't want to alarm the air, and there are many good reasons not to alarm the air. Our air was commonly here over 20 years ago. Our first rush on the Shabbos was, those who don't alarm the air, and Mr. Brewer says, some of them brought them. They're very strict. They're in the city, they're always by definition problematic. And many people live in the holy city of Yerushalayim. There's so many areas, and those of us that don't want to run in areas, they want to try to accept themselves if they're not in areas. Which, by the way, doesn't mean you shouldn't build an area. Believe it, if you build an area, then those of you who use it, use it, those who don't know, that's what the Postman says. So let's say there's no area where it falls down, or you don't want to alarm air. That's what we had to talk about today. So we know, obviously, we love the Postman, but it's not permitted to carry either from your house to the street, or from the street to your house, or even within the street, if you're going to go from more than what we call our bottles, so from here to there, pick it up here and put it down there, these are all prohibitions down there, which is the Rabbi in our Torah, and the Torah domain, which is called the trouble domain by Torah law, these are Torah prohibitions, they're all very difficult Shabbos. How do you define the Rabbi in the Torah? A very serious question. Some guidelines are not as accepted after the streets, which are 16 hours wide. Others are more controversial, such as you have to be 600,000 people in the street or in the town, or some combination thereof, and or have to be perfectly straight streets, go straight into one direction, straight to the other. These are all complex elements. For those who already know, the very existence of an Eruv, as we call it Eruv, the street around the town, or if you're lying on the street, presupposes the fact that even without these streets, without the streets around the Torah, we call it a caramelist. A caramelist is either hidden or in, not a Shayyab, which is surrounded by four walls, three walls, no one goes through, and it's not a Shayyab. So the difference between it is called a caramelist. The caramelist, the rabbinical prohibition is carried. And this rabbinical prohibition of carry can be alleviated by the existence of what we call an air of strings that go around the town. Okay? But it doesn't matter that much whether our cities or towns are carnival or just around either event, it's prohibited to carry there our shops. You can't carry a street on shops. Bottom line. Unfortunately, in many communities, people carry, they kept all their little offices. But they carry, so they had a whip, a sense. Person that bakes and chocolate and that's so tall is a malachim ruah. It's different than other malachim. It's not creating anything, it's moving something. It's not mean to say that I carry. It's explaining to you that it's an amazing phenomenon. People keep 38 malachim and not one. There's no basis in halacha, strictly speaking, but the people intuit it, not to say that it's writing fire or writing a letter. Okay. Nonetheless, there's absolute prohibition to carry a street on Shabbos. And when I didn't discuss that, tell me that was a prohibition. question is, there are certain types of quote carry which are not as obvious as we see. And therefore, we are going to discuss this this evening. Remember when I came to this community and I saw people in the, even the Orthodox community, in shul, were carrying shoes and chaps, weren't carrying books. But I saw a number of serious problems with handkerchiefs, with glasses, with keys. I think those were the three major problems which I saw which were carrying even of the Orthodox persuasion. And they weren't doing it the way Tato was allowed. One of the reasons I became involved in the ritual construction of the Arabs. So let's discuss these things one by one. Let's start with keys. I think keys is a very serious matter. How do we carry a key at Shabbos is no way. Very serious problem. So, there's some dispute that again I have to be very brief in terms of going through the Talmudic source that I don't have to talk about in a short period of time. Rather than mention some few highlights, and if you want to look up the sources, please be my guest. A key, if it's carried normally in a pocket, it's obviously prohibited. So how do you get around it? So there are those who, in effect, carry a key by using it as a bracelet or as a brooch, and it serves two functions. The function of a pocket, means decorative, ornamental, and it's also for tashkent, for using it as something. Now, a careful perusal of the sources seem to indicate that this is prohibited if it is being carried for the purpose of a tashkent. If you're carrying the key for the purpose of using the key and opening the door, it is not allowed. A simple reading of the Shabura yield. For this reason, I don't really understand how there are so many people who are walking with their dress and on the dress and a decorative key. I don't think it's really permissible. I don't know of any good way for a woman to wear have a key on her person on Shabbos without violating the prohibition of also. For men, however, there are two possible ways that they can. One is a tiglet. There's no tiglet. Pockets are a tiglet nowadays. Around them. Well, very good. So we have still have a vestigial tiglet that we want to know for the museum so they can use to walk around. So. But it's good. I'm very happy. So that was one of the ways you could use to have to take out a key on Shabbos. So use the key, and the key would be on the tiglet. The tiglet is on Shabbos to keep the tie in place. So therefore, it happens to have an additional function as well. The cost can say it's okay. And this is different than a decorative piece. Because it's a functional piece, and the function is a permissible function. That's one way a key can be, in effect, transported as a part of a pipe. The second way is a part of the belt. Now, a part of the belt, the best way to do it is a part of the belt. Is to go to one of those stores where they make the key an integral part of the buckle. So that the small, there's the sharp part of the belt that goes through the hole is the key. And without the key, there's no way to close the belt. And without the closed belt, they can't like, get loose or worse. So therefore, it's again considered to be not much different than a tiger. It's more functional, more critical. If you pass up, you can't pass properly in place. Now that's the best. However, many individuals do that, they have a different kind of belt. So an elastic belt. And at the end of the elastic belt, on one side, were two clasps. This. The other side, one example of a problematic situation. There are many others, and I'm reading to you a quality of I haven't opened yet. It says the Shmira Shabbos Kiel Tosa, Perek Yud Ches. What do you do on Shabbos? There's no error. What may you or may not have on your person when there's no error? Let's now look a little bit of a summation.
Ready? Can you use, how do you use the key once you get where you're going? How, can you take?
Well, let's take, it's a simple case. Let's say you're going to go, you live in an apartment house, there's a doorman. You walk right in, no problem. Go to your door, your apartment building, and you use the key. Now, the question may be raised, but how do you carry, even in the building itself, you have to carry. Well, the building has four walls, which is so young, and I've never seen one. Well, there is a crowd called starting now.
inquire about it. It's what's assumed. And most communities will wear through me on Shabbos, even if there's no airways, they do not rely on the common custom. I don't know if too many women don't wear jewelry on Shabbos.
Watch.
Shabbos that the watch is on your person while you're telecomming. For the key, in order to get into the house, you take off your dress and put it in to the hole and open the door. That's one distinction. And other distinctions are found as well. So that for overriding efficiencies, it's generally assumed by many Muslims that a watch is permissive on Shabbos, even if no air. There are always those who are more strict, but there are motions made for the Dalman, it seems to be made for. And there are a series of reasons which are compelling enough to warrant the wearing of a watch in an area where there is no air. Again, there are always many people who would not wear them. There are most themselves so better not to wear, but still there is a strong argument to be made to permit the wearing of a watch where there's no air on
the watch. You can't do it with the jewelry. Otherwise you have $2 watches.
Right. Watch position, that's a simple shot. You got a watch that fancy, but that's not sure. It doesn't have to be a $1 million watch. It looks a little bit nicer than the shoe with the bed.
Chain watch also?
Not worse. Chain watch you put in your pocket, that's much worse. That really should not be that, not be much shot. I haven't seen my lady just watch it in general, so I'll be back in style. No. Long gone.
Chain watch is very good.
See it again.
See the mirror of what?
The rear bed?
Okay. Let's continue. Very serious. Shabbat comes up. Speak for having me. They're finding my coat. What they call kaptovei reserva, reserve buttons, extra buttons. I think all coats come. But with the coats, have an extra button. Sure, my coat has an extra button. Shirts, some jackets. Now, let me explain. This is certainly allowed. These buttons are absolutely no function. None whatsoever. That's certainly allowed. Decorative quality of the jacket, that's okay. But the reserve button, they're there in case the regular button falls off, you'll have to replace it. So it's not meant to be there forever. Meant, you like it to be there forever, you don't want the original button. But it's put there in case one of the buttons disappears. There are Poskim who are strict. In my humble opinion, the reserve buttons are bulletin. And one of the reasons is that they're actually sewn into the garment. They're sewn in. Some Poskim are not even a handkerchief if it's sewn into a garment. Because whatever is sewn in is more secondary to the garment. Something which is simply put into the pocket or somehow even tied a little bit, it's sewn in so tightly that it's considered to be secondary to the garment, unless it's a very usual circumstance. Therefore, again, I continue my opinion, which says that it's permissible. The Shvira Shabbos of Balsamon Talila, at least on top, says that these reserved buttons are prohibited. That's on top. The bottom. Well, what the Zalman said, it's like a handkerchief, it's sewed in, it's put there, but on top it's in the dust. There's a lot of cases where it's more strict on top than on bottom. This is one of them. So I hold the bottom. Yes. Yes.
If you could get a handkerchief that's sewn in, then why can't you sew a key on it for your coat?
Okay, that's a possibility. You have to investigate it. Perhaps it would be permissible. That what it's suggesting is taking the key, sew it onto the coat, and when you want to open the door, just bend over and put it in. We have to investigate that. Okay, it's a good suggestion. Has anyone seen that? I haven't seen it. But I'm always open to suggestions.
I'm never sorry to do it because I would assume that if you take something that has a separate function, like a handkerchief, you can blow your nose, just because you sew it onto your bag, and why should it become secondary to the bag?
Very good question. A very good question.
It's difficult to wash.
As a matter of fact,
Nowadays, people have got access to garbage.
How would you use it?
How? It's a very good question. So it's going to be a nominal privilege, but then that was a privilege to keep. But the reserve fund is going to be allowed. That's law. That ever does. Okay, so you're right. One, they make a case, the reserve fund, so look, there's everything else is also used in Sonia. You permit it to go on shop with the hood in the back of your toes, keep the hood not over your head. Instead of taking rain, so it gets very windy. Part of the garment. Now, there's a problem of a button which is not functional. It got loose, it's so loose that you can't put it in the hole or pull off. That might also be a potential problem. Or you sometimes have these loops. You have a loop and a button which goes into the loop. And something breaks. Half of it breaks, half of it falls off. The other half is just sort of dangling or hanging. It doesn't serve any function. It's also a potential problem.
If a button actually falls off, then it is that for sure you can't move it, then that's double push it, that it's mutzah?
Without
the
struggle, it looks enough. You want to have the mutzah, the barricades, maybe we'll something out about that. I'm discussing the mutzah right now. Falls off, it's not a mutzah problem, that's for sure.
Okay.
that part that fell off is carried. That's for sure. Okay. So if you want to have a handkerchief on Shabbos, so what do you do about it? So Mr. Shabbos suggests that you wear the kind of scarf. Or take off your belt and wear the belt. So that conditions you though, so there's no function. As some salt folks said, if you have a very bad cold, it's permissible to part around your pants, which is an abnormal way of carrying it. And if it's a our bottom, and if you cover up here, it's collapsed, it's finished. I said, they are. You don't need it. That's what it sounds like. In general, the Postal say that when you're at home, you should not put things into your pocket for fear that you may forget to carry them in the street. A handkerchief. You shouldn't put a handkerchief into your pocket on Shabbos because we're afraid that you're going to forget that it's Shabbos to walk out. It's a handkerchief. Don't put it in. Even Arab Shabbos goes to Shabbos the proper way. Say every Arab Shabbos, the Maastricht, Arab Shabbos is a Shema, Shema, Yishka, V'yeze. If they don't just arrive to the Shabbos, then it's certainly on Shabbos itself. Should put things into your pocket. A lady's scarf is fine, no problem. So the men's scarf is fine. The garment, put it on, and it keeps you warm and it's cold outside. No problem. You assume it's a typical visible.
Why is a tie okay?
For the same reason. A tie is considered a garment. It's not considered to be a carrying anything which is a the garment. That's the style, to wear a tie. Who made up the style of the landscape? But in many societies, it's considered de rigueur to wear a tie, and so if you're wearing a tie, it's permissible for sure. About children. I haven't got to have a fish. cleaner shop. It's also prohibited to carry a child in a stroller or carriage on Shabbos. However, if the child is walking, you let her help out a little. You walk and you hold on to the child, that is allowed. If the child is walking, stops himself in the middle of the street, the child is going, I recommend very strongly you pick up the child and you carry it, or somewhere or other, get him out of the street. That's a good old marriage. But, you know, don't take it next to your shoulder. I mean, you have one tantrum, you wait until he grows up a little more. People have a funny habit of giving their children things to carry on Shabbos. I've seen this in terms of growing up. The guy can bring something to give to the kid, you know, he carries on Shabbos. It's a very serious prohibition. Losatsa kapalaka, ato bimako. This doesn't mean to be barbarous, that's ato. This is not barbarous. So to give your child to carry would not be permitted. Unless the child is carrying for his own sake. Himself. Even candy, that's okay. If you give it your keys, you share it to the house. That's not allowed.
What about where there's an Eruv? So if you want to be like the Mishnah Berurah.
Oh, you don't want to use the Eruv, so you get your children carried. Okay, look, that's a different story. If you want to think of the woman, you want to testify yourself, not mandatory to accept upon your children. I can accept that. I want nothing wrong with that. I have sold in the past, an average of the custom in some places, and they have two shofarim, the male and the female. The men don't carry, the women do carry, that bothers me. I think it's very, it's a bit unhealthy to have that kind of a dual shofarim, but the children are different sort of, because there is a difference. The young, if you get older, it's a different story.
What about dinner? Why should you say that you're going to show the child how to carry and travel? We don't have to carry. What kind of things is that? Is it a problem to them?
It's not a problem because if the people who are around you who are way over the are carrying the child, you have particular strictures accepted upon yourself. Fine. You also impose your own strictures upon your children. As you saw the dialogue. So there is some gear, flexibility in this regard. If the child is kind to you, that's certainly not allowed. That's not a bit. He's kind for himself, that's both the whole discussion we're supposed to have it. Mother Dolores, a cup of the same bit, which is not free show, certain things which can be used. Small children, but again, you're right, that's gross. If you want to be strict and not take off the car anything at all, that's probably the better way to go.
What
I mentioned before. The youth had to enforce